as we continue our winter blast coverage.
As you can see on King TV's winter blast coverage, power lines and Douglas firs are a lethal mix.
The trees were crashing and breaking.
Puget Sound Energy's Roger Thompson calls the recent storms the worst for the utility in modern times. He sums up the reason for the power outages in one word.
It's trees.
After all, this is the Evergreen State.
You don't have this problem in Arizona.
Sitting next to Thompson in the PSE offices in Bellevue, Gretchen Alabadi nods in agreement.
When Mother Nature comes through with these storms, she takes our system down faster than we can put it up.
So that brings us to the obvious question.
Why don't we bury more of our power lines? Because we have storms like this. We have a lot of big trees.
And we get that question a lot.
His answer? Money.
If it was all about ultimate paramount reliability and cost be damned, we could probably underground all 24,000 miles.
You heard that right. Puget Sound Energy has 24,000 miles of electrical lines. The electrical industry in the U.S. puts out the figure of $1 million per mile to place a system underground, substantially more than stringing wires on poles. Daniel Kirshen is a professor of electrical engineering at the University of Washington.
I think we have to accept the fact that being without power is inconvenient for the people who are without power, but as a society, it would be too expensive.
Too expensive because the assumption is you're not willing to pay, say, $20 extra a month to have more reliable power. Is that true? Let's look at it through a different lens.
I work at Microsoft.
Yolanda Cedars lives in Seattle's Fremont neighborhood, but grew up in Belgium. When her father visited, he looked out from her deck, saw power poles in the middle of the city, and couldn't believe it.
And he was astonished to realize that that was the electricity grid.
You see, back in Belgium, the country long ago buried its power lines. Yolanda's father was staring at something from his childhood in the 1960s.
I remember him even taking pictures just to show to his friends back home.
In Europe, there does seem to be a willingness to pay, not just for more reliability, but for the aesthetics of it, for not having to stare at ugly utility poles. Maybe here we don't even see them anymore. We're used to all those poles and wires ruining our pictures of Mount Rainier. Consider this. Back in the early 1900s, before electricity was fully regulated, the poles looked even worse.
It was a hornet's nest of wire where two different or sometimes three different utilities were all competing for the same to serve the same building.
By the 1930s, when this promotional film was made for Puget Power and Light, we'd gotten used to our electricity and presumably our power poles.
Well, I dreamed that the electric power and light went dead. Gee, it was a terrible mess. Would that happen?
Hardly a chance.
As early as the 1960s, some housing developers were beginning to put utilities underground as a selling point.
It's as easy as can be when you live better electrically.
Cities from Seattle to Tacoma have done undergrounding, as they call it, in some areas as part of beautification projects. Still, the vast majority, 70%, of electrical lines remain overhead.
You can see that power pole.
During the recent storm, I met up with a utility crew on a road littered with branches and down wires.
So the power lines are gone.
I asked Rob Brockman why he thinks we continue to rely on these poles that seem so last century.
Still a primitive design. I mean, it works, you know?
Works, that is, until the next storm. Paula Whistle, KPLU News.
The lights wouldn't work. The alarm clock stopped at 4:30, the refrigerator, the icebox, the percolator, and the radio.